our storyteller. He's the other host tonight. The reason this night came about is because at our last live show, he was like, hey, you guys should do one in my living room. I think kind of joking, but I was like, all right, let's talk about it. And then it came together. So this is so great. The reason we kind of picked the theme is because when I came over here to see the place, we were just sharing stories, and he told me this amazing story that is so good. It's like the kind of story where, like, you know it's true, but you still don't believe it. And I think that's the story you're going to share now, right? Uh-huh. So please welcome to the stage Mr. Brian Willis. Yes. Yes.
Thank you. And thank you all for being here. This is fantastic. Great stories, great people. This story is a story about, we do different things to learn things in an official way. Some of us went to college, some of us go to trade school, some of us take classes online, whatever. And some of that sticks with you. But the real life experience oftentimes sticks with you in a much more vivid manner than, say, theoretical political science. My buddy Chris and I knew nothing about the South Side of Chicago. The world ended at Congress Parkway as far as we were concerned. But my roommate and friend, Mickey, he was from some place called Hegwisch. They had steel plants there, which I thought sounded pretty cool, but which he said gave the air a very particular, unpleasant odor. Mickey was the toughest guy I knew and is definitely in the top five ever known, even to this day. He'd grown up in a working-class Serbian neighborhood and gone to a Catholic high school called Mount Carmel, known for its rigorous academics, but located in a very rough part of the city. One day, Mickey approached me, Chris, and my buddy Mike, and asked if we'd like to attend Fight Night, a yearly fundraiser held at Mount Carmel. Fight Night. He could get us in for free, as he was an alum, and told us we probably wouldn't get carded by the parents or priests tending bar, as long as we dressed halfway decently and spoke in a courteous manner, which we could do. We were actually way more excited about it than Mickey was. He'd seen it before. I personally couldn't believe that we were going to go watch high school kids pummel each other in a boxing ring. It sounded like something out of some 1930s movie about character building, or a kid not being heavy because he was your brother. The day came, but Mickey had left early to visit with his parents before the event. So the three of us idiot Northsiders loaded ourselves into Chris's Honda Civic, and we headed down to Mount Carmel High School in the Lawndale neighborhood. Somehow, we got lost as soon as we exited Lakeshore Drive, and I got my first non-academic, in-the-field experience of a poverty-stricken neighborhood in steep decline. The streets were full of potholes, the buildings had broken windows, the walls were covered in tags, the porches were crumbling. It was a stark contrast to Lincoln Park. You got the sense the city had just abandoned this whole section of town. It reminded me of the streets in the movie Escape from New York. We didn't see any women or kids, but there were a lot of guys staring at us every time we slowed down. Eventually, we figured it out. The lake's right over there, right? So, and we found Mount Carmel, which is like this little oasis of learning and safety in an otherwise desperate place. Mickey gave us a hard time about getting lost and provided us with different scenarios on how that could have gone down for us if we'd had car trouble or stopped for too long to check our blanket-sized street map. We walked in, and it was awesome. The whole gym was full of parents and kids, and a running track above our head had a sea of hanging tennis shoes, full of kids, a smorgasbord of sneakers. There was already a layer of cigarette and cigar smoke hanging in the air, and priests in actual priest robes were walking around hard-selling raffle tickets. You could buy hot dogs and popcorn, beer and cocktails. It felt like an indoor carnival with a boxing ring right in the middle of it. So Mickey explained that kids volunteered to box and were given a couple weeks of boxing training. They wore big boxing gloves, and the rule was three rounds or until someone started to bleed or cry or quit. I was like, this would never fly at my high school in Buffalo Grove, not in a million years. As Mickey predicted, the parents manning the beer and booze didn't card us, and we started getting a nice buzz while scarfing down hot dogs and cheering for the kids. The priest pressed us hard to buy raffle tickets, saying stuff like, come on, gentlemen, you go to DePaul. You must have a little extra left over. Buy a ticket. We were actually pretty broke, but we caved under the pressure and the goodwill feeling from the drinks and bought a bunch of tickets. We saw dozens of fights, most lasting only a round or two. Kids would sort of windmill their arms, or they'd punch like a rock'em sock'em robot. And sometimes they'd make contact. A few times, blood spurted out of noses. But nobody got upset, and the whole thing was very organized in a medieval village harvest festival kind of way. Then it was over and the place cleared out in record time. A priest with an Irish accent, who maybe felt sorry about us buying all those raffle tickets, asked us if we could take the rest of the beer and a couple bottles of whiskey off his hands as he had nowhere to store them. It was the first and only time that I ever thought, hey, maybe Catholic priests are cool. Because I had a very high opinion of that priest at that moment. Yeah. So we took the beer and the booze off the Grateful Cleric, and we drove back to Hegwisch with Mickey. We got lost again, briefly, even with our local guide, which should have been our warning that we'd had enough to drink already. Mickey took us to a rocky outcropping into Lake Michigan, and I saw the skyline from an angle that I'd never seen it from before. It felt a little like I'd traveled to a similar but alternate reality. We talked for a couple of hours, finishing the beer, putting a serious dent in the whiskey bottle. The plan was to head home soon, as it was dark already. People had to work the next day. Then Chris decided we should finish off the night with a joint, which sounded like a capital idea. It was not a good idea. Quality control on drugs was non-existent for us at the time, and that included marijuana. It was generally fine, but sometimes you'd get some weak herb, sensimilla, more like nonsense, and sometimes you'd get some crazy powerful strain grown by an original hippie in an abandoned missile silo. This was apparently the missile silo strain, and it reacted powerfully with the beer and booze that we'd been consuming for hours. Suddenly, we could barely stand. Mike, in fact, was unable to stand and was gibbering like a madman. I started to get the fear, which is what we called it when intense paranoia hits you. While Mickey and Chris just mumbled, uh-oh, over and over. Well, finally, Mickey suggested that we stay overnight at his parents' house. And while none of us wanted to meet his old country, no bullshit, Serbian parents for the first time while wasted, it still seemed like the best idea. So we drove slowly to his parents' house and said hello to his mother in the kitchen, who didn't seem thrilled, but was way cooler than my mom would have been if I'd shown up at night with three drunks. Everything seemed fine until Mickey started talking to his mom in Serbian, and then started raising his voice, and then yelled something and stomped out, leaving us standing there in the kitchen with his mom. I thought my head was going to explode from how uncomfortable I was. We all mumbled, thank you, have a good night, and just walked out to join Mickey. He wouldn't tell us what the yelling was about. To this day, I do not know what that was about. He wouldn't tell us what it was about, but suggested a brief tour of the southeast side to help us sober up. I'm sure it was interesting, but sadly, I have little recollection of this tour. If we sobered up at all, it was instantly replaced by exhaustion. Finally, Mickey had had enough, apologized for having to send us away, and had us drop him off. Mike had been passed out for a while in the back, and Chris asked that I help him stay awake and on target for this drive home. As an added bonus, a fog had rolled in. We found the highway, though, started driving, and we drove, and we drove. And then I saw a sign for Olympia Fields, and I knew we were going the wrong way. Not because I knew Olympia Fields was south, but only because I'd never passed an exit for it in my life. We found a place to turn around and headed back north. Chris couldn't stay in his lane and really worried me when he said, man, you have to help me drive. Everything looks like a cartoon. That was not what I wanted to hear. I suggested we just stop at some motel and crash for the night, but he insisted he had to be at his job early, his crappy part-time job, and wouldn't listen to me about how he was going to be really late if we crashed and died. Then suddenly we started to recognize things, and pretty soon we were home. We left Mike sleeping in the car, and I went to bed, grateful to be alive and wondering how four educated guys could be so goddamn stupid. Thank you.
The trend tonight is educated people doing suboptimal things. I like it. So Brian was our last storyteller. Give it up for everybody. Yeah. What a fun time. This podcast comes out every Monday on nerdologs.com, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, wherever you get your podcasts, you can find this. This will be out Monday. What else do I want to say? We do monthly shows. We're popping up all over the place. If you're listening at home and you're like, I want to put this in my living room, and you have like a living room that can fit people, that would be awesome. What else should I say? Thank you all for being here. This was so fun. Yeah. Oh, the thing about Brian's story that blows my mind is, like, high school kids just, like, punching each other for charity. That's that wouldn't... Yeah, you're. I mean, I went to a Catholic school, and if they were doing that, they didn't tell me about it, which is fine, because as we established, I'm weak. I would have been no use to them.